guys so much. Well, hey, we just want to I want to introduce myself for those who might not know me. My name's Chuck Marr. I am one of the pastors at Kingdom Life San Antonio, and I have a team with me. Why don't you guys stand? This is Paula Ozark, Sarah Hash, and Derek Torvik. Why don't you welcome them? And I'll introduce them a little bit later, but man, it's good to be with you guys. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Dwayne and Tammy. Hey, Tammy, good to see you. And the whole team here. Can we just thank God for your pastor and leaders here at New Life? It's an honor to be with you guys. And I'm sure a lot, if not all of you, know that our home church, Kingdom Life, ever since the whole COVID, you know, pandemic came and everybody had to pivot to really focusing on our live stream. We ended up moving to a couple different buildings because we were already renting. And then your pastor and team opened this house for us to live stream from here. And then since they started opening up to actually gather, they invited our church to as well. And now our church, Kingdom Life, as you probably know, is gathering in your building right here on Sundays at 4 o'clock. And I just want to say thank you again to this house. It's been such a blessing. How many of you know that that's a testimony to our community? And that's the kingdom of God on display. I said it earlier during the Life Changers meeting. How many of you know that it's not just one church that's going to impact the city, but it's the entire body of Christ in a city that will bring revival, reformation, and transformation to the city and the community? And we all get to play a part. I think it's just a testimony to the community when two churches can come together like that. And it's the kingdom on display. And you've been such a blessing. So thank you so much for that. If you have your Bibles, actually, before we turn there, is it okay if I share a testimony real quick? One of the things I love to do is just share testimonies and celebrate the amazing things that God's doing all over the world. Because how many of you know that even in the midst of challenging times, you know, for a lot of people, difficult times, God is still on the move and the Holy Spirit still has preeminence in our midst. And I really believe that it's key that we, as the body of Christ, focus more on what God's doing than we do on what the enemy's doing or on the negative circumstances that are happening around us. A key to seeing the kingdom advanced is focusing more on what God's doing than what the devil's doing. That's why I love to share testimonies. I love to celebrate what it is that God's doing. One testimony I want to share is last Sunday, there was a mother and a daughter that just recently started coming to our church. And I believe it was last Saturday, the daughter's friend came over to the house because she's good friends with this particular young lady. And the mom and daughter led her to Jesus last week in their living room. That following Sunday, that's a week ago today, they visited a church in our community. I don't even know what church it was, that was doing water baptisms, and this young lady was water baptized in that church right here in our city. Later that day, they brought her to our church, Kingdom Life, right here in your building, and I believe it was right around this section right here. During worship, as the presence of God filled the atmosphere, this young lady, without anybody even laying hands and praying for her, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit encountered her just in the midst of worship. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is on the move. Everybody say, God is doing more than you think he's doing. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to put it on the screen as well. And just to lay a little bit of a context, Moses already led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he's leading them through the wilderness, and their sights are set on a promise of God called the Promised Land. So God promised the nation of Israel, I will lead you into the Promised Land. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, which, by the way, I believe the Promised Land speaks prophetically of all the promises of God that he's released to his sons and daughters. How many of you know that we have a Promised Land? And it's the fulfillment of the kingdom and all that that means in and through us and around us on planet Earth. So they have their sights set on the promised land. And then God told Moses, Israel's leader, I want you to send 12 spies into the land that I want you to possess. And I want you to spy out the land. I want them to spy out the land. And I want them to bring back a report and tell you all about the land that they spy out, okay? So we're going to pick up in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, and it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, verse 2, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now skip down to verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way to the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. Everybody say, be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. Now skip down to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And they showed them the grapes. Verse 28, nevertheless. In other words, yeah, but. Has anyone ever been around people who, as good as things are going, as powerful as the testimonies are, as amazing as it is what God's doing in you, through you, around you, as much as you're blessed or as much as they're blessed, they always finish with a nevertheless or yeah, but. Can I just encourage you, get around people that aren't so negative that they start to rob you of your faith on a daily basis? But spend time with people. And I'm not saying, like, you know, if somebody's having a bad day, you stop being their friend. All I'm saying is get around people who will feed your faith, encourage you, speak life into you, and help you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and what it is that he's doing rather than the negative that's happened around us. So they said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So they have this negative report. They're like, nevertheless, there's giants in the land. This is what's happening. And Caleb's like, no, 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 no. And he like tries to silence them because he knows that a bad report and focusing on the negative and focusing on what the devil might be doing will rob people of the courage and faith that is required to possess the promised land. So he's trying to quiet the people. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Everybody say bad report. Of the land which they had spied out, saying the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And then if you skip ahead to Numbers chapter 14, the people continue to complain. They grumble against God's anointed, and they basically say, why did you even bring us up out of Egypt? We should choose another leader. And they just their negative words just start to go like, you know, like contagious all through the people. They all lose their faith. They get discouraged, except for a couple. And then Joshua and Caleb, who hung on to God's perspective, said this in verse 7. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Coming into 2020, you know, our church, Kingdom Life, like your church, is a prophetic church. We believe in the prophetic. We believe we can hear the word of the Lord. And I, for one, love to listen to prophetic voices and what trusted prophetic leaders and prophetic voices are saying to the body of Christ. And coming into 2020, there were so many prophetic words about not just the year 2020, but about the entire decade that we were coming into. Because how many of you know that we just stepped into an entire new decade? And there were so many prophetic voices saying 2020, and not just the year, but the entire decade, will be a year marked by the power of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God. So many prophetic voices declaring this is the decade that will see a move of God that will eclipse every move of God and revival throughout history. This is the decade, and this is the most exciting time to be alive on planet Earth. And I prophesy and I declare and I echo that it is still true. Yes, amen, let it be so. And I, coming into the decade, I could feel the stirring. I could feel the faith rising. I could just see almost a vision of souls, mass harvest, cities being transformed. And we're hearing these prophetic words. We're grabbing onto them by faith. And then all of a sudden, a few short months into the year 2020, all of craziness breaks out. It's not a coincidence. I'm telling you, the devil is terrified of sons and daughters of God stepping into who they're created to be. And so all of this virus or talk of a virus, I'm still confused about the whole thing. I stopped watching the news months ago. I'm listening to this report. And all of this crazy, you know, started breaking out, the coronavirus, and then obviously all the racial tension and the political tension and racial injustice, which, you know, has been there for years, but there's just a greater awareness of it. And then after that, more corona that apparently, you know, more corona is breaking onto the scene. And as if that wasn't enough, I, like, for the first time in a long time, flipped on the news, and all of a sudden, there's this, like, news story about this strange dust from a desert in Africa that has swept into the land, and that's why it's overcast. And I thought there were just clouds, but in the midst, it's no coincidence that right after all of these prophetic words, faith, stirring of our spirits, let's take this year, let's take this decade, all of craziness breaks out, and there's so much noise happening around us, the devil would love for us to look at all of the promises of God and then say, yeah, nevertheless, yeah, but. And he would love for us to look at what the devil's doing or what, you know, whatever it is that's happening in the world instead of the promises of God and what it is that he's called us to do. And I'd like to propose to you that, like the 12 spies, we have a decision to make. Are we going to listen to all the noise around us and get our eyes on the natural and circumstances around us, or are we going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who has triumphed over all the works of the enemy, over all circumstances in the earth, and can still have the best report? And I believe that we have a decision. Here's the deal. Here's what's crazy. The 10 spies with the bad report and Joshua and Caleb, the 2 spies with the good report, all saw the same circumstances, but had an entirely different perspective. And God doesn't want us to deny the facts or ignore reality, But he does want us anchored in a greater reality, which is the kingdom of God breaking in on planet Earth. And what I love about God is he's not intimidated, worried, distracted, or caught off guard by anything. I love in Psalms how it says, you know, all of the nations are in uproar, and, you know, all of the people are plotting in vain, and they're speaking against the Lord's anointed. And then it says this, it says, but he who sits in the heavens laughs. And he's literally laughing at what the devil is saying and planning against the people of God. God's not worried. Lately, I've been listening to a worship song by a band called House Fires. And there's one chorus that says, God's not worried, God's not worried, so why should I worry? So why should I worry? They both saw the same circumstances but had a different perspective. I'd like to propose to you, God is calling us to a kingdom perspective that sees circumstances through the eyes of faith. Understanding that one of the beautiful things about God is he doesn't cause everything, but I promise you he'll use everything. And I love the reality of Romans 8:28 that says all things. If you looked that up in the Greek, guess what it means? All things. Everything. Even what we perceive as really bad things. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen, I don't play poker. I've actually never played poker a day in my life. But I heard that I heard that a set of twos isn't very good. And the good news is God is so powerful, he can win with any hand. Even a set of twos. He has the final say, and all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you guys doing okay? The 12 spies said there's giants in the land and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They're going to eat us for breakfast. Joshua and Caleb said the land is exceedingly good. It flows with milk and honey. And because God is with us, we don't have to fear them. We are well able to overcome it. Everybody say, I am well able to overcome it. What the 10 spies saw as opposition, Joshua and Caleb saw as opportunity. And I believe that in Jesus, every challenge that we face is an opportunity to witness the power of God. Listen, that's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, in the Passion Translation, I love this. It says this, Paul said, so I will celebrate my weaknesses. For when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. Listen to this. For my weakness becomes a portal for God's power. Listen, if in the midst of everything that's going on around us, you feel weak, you feel really dependent on God. How many of you in some situation over the past couple months, you felt like, God, I really need you more than ever? I'd like to propose to you that that's actually a really good place to be. Because when we're weak, he's really strong. When we think that we can just do this without him, there's really no room for him to move. But when we are desperate, when we are in need, we say, God, without you, I can't do this. He says, it's about time. I'm going to put my power on display, and I'm going to shake cities with the power of the gospel. It's through a weak and broken people who trust in his strength and not our own. Joshua and Caleb didn't think that they could take the land because they were stronger than all the giants there in that. Are you kidding me? In the natural, it looked hopeless. But they said, no, 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 no. If God has pleased us and he's already told us that he is, in fact, everybody say, God is pleased with me because he sees me through the blood of his son. And because of that, he sees you as perfect in his sight. So Joshua and Caleb are like, listen, in the natural, this looks impossible. But because God delights in me and is pleased with me, he is with us. And we are well able to overcome it. Listen, one person with God is always a majority. And when we have him on our side, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on our side, Corona has nothing on us. If God is on our side, he's going to give us the wisdom, the strategy, and the anointing to see racism fall in America in Jesus' name as we put the love and kindness of God on display. If God's on our side, listen. The reason the gospel is good news is because the gospel is the answer to every human problem. That's why everybody wants a king like Jesus. Everybody say, I'm well able to overcome it. The difference between those who thrive in difficulty and those who shrink back is whether or not they fix their eyes on Jesus or fix their eyes on their circumstances. And listen, we see this. We see this in the life of Peter in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. And I love this story, and I'm going to read it. Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 22. It's the story of Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water. And it says this in Matthew 14, verse 22 from the Passion Translation. It says, as soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up into the hills to pray, and as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. Verse 24, but the disciples who were now in the middle of the lake ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus came to them, walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" Then Jesus said, be brave and don't be afraid. I am here. How many of you know that just because God is with us, we don't have to be afraid? Verse 27, then Jesus said, be brave and don't be afraid. I am here. Verse 28, Peter shouted out, Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water. How many of you just love the bold faith of Peter? Peter said, come and join me. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand, lifted him up, and said, what little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win? And the very moment they both stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. I love this story, and I love reading about the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, because these aren't like just nice stories. Like, this actually happened. Like, think about the fact. The disciples are out in this boat. A storm comes, and so much so that, like, they were probably ready to capsize at any moment. They're terrified. There's huge waves tossing their boat around, and now, all of a sudden, Jesus, as peaceful as can be, just comes strolling on the water toward them. And now listen, I used to picture this story as Jesus just kind of like, you know, calmly walking along this like really calm lake. But no, it was a storm with massive waves, probably higher than their heads. And Jesus isn't just walking on the water. He's literally walking on the waves. Waves are moving up and down. He's walking toward them without a fear in the world. They're like, it's a ghost. He's like, no, 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 don't be afraid. It's me. Peter's like, if it's you, let me come to you. And I believe Jesus was like, I thought you'd never ask. Come on, Peter, you can do this. He's like, come on, step out of the boat. You can do this. What does Peter do? He fixes his eyes on Jesus. He fixes his eyes on Jesus. He steps out of the boat, and Peter starts to walk on the waves. He's going up and down. He's walking toward him. And then it says, But when Peter saw how high the waves were, he began to sink. What did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus and on the circumstances around him. Listen, I know there are people going through personal storms in this season right now, whether it's financial, fear of your health, maybe job loss, whatever it is, you fill in the blanks. But I'm telling you, no matter the storm that's going on around us, the moment we focus on the storm and the waves rather than the person of Jesus himself, who is inviting us to walk above our circumstances, we start to sink. You know, it's unfortunate. Did you know that the only people who were invited into the promised land that actually went into the promised land, of the people that we read about, were Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they actually took God at his word and believed that they could overcome it. Those that focused on outward situations, outward circumstances, got so caught up in it that they didn't have enough faith or courage to actually take possession of the land. And in the same way, as soon as Peter looked at the waves instead of Jesus himself, he began to sink. You know, it's interesting that before Jesus calmed the storm, he invited Peter to rise above the circumstance. I believe Jesus was actually inviting Peter to participate with not just faith in God, but the very faith of God. Peter, if you'll take me at my word and lock eyes with me, you can step out of the boat. And the same faith that I'm operating in, you can operate in them. John 14, Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also an even greater works. Say greater works. Because I go to my Father. Listen, guys, there is no limit to what we can do when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God on earth when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we don't take our eyes off of him. And let me just say this. We don't grow in faith by trying to have more faith. We grow in faith by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's why it says in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, in the NIV, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Again, we don't grow in faith by trying to have more faith. We grow in faith by fixing our eyes on the one that perfects faith and develops faith and gives birth to faith. What if, like David in Psalm 27, we said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that's what I seek. To dwell in the house of the Lord, it means his presence, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple, to gaze upon his beauty, and to seek him in his temple. Listen, I love the revelation of Jesus as gentle, kind, humble, and meek. But sometimes we need to get a revelation of the all-powerful lion of the tribe of Judah. The Jesus revealed in the book of Revelation, who has fire in his eyes, whose clothes are as white as snow, who is so glorious and majestic and full of glory and fiery in his eyes that when John the Beloved looked at him, and said he fell on the ground like a dead man. That's the Jesus who has authority over every circumstance that's happening on planet Earth. And sometimes we just need to get our eyes off of our circumstances, off of what's happening around it. I'm not saying deny it. I'm not saying don't ask for prayer. I'm not saying don't tell somebody when you're struggling. We need to be a family that it feels safe enough to say, listen, I'm feeling weak. Can you pray for me? That is good. We need to do that. But as they pray for you, make a decision to take your eyes off of your circumstances and fix them on Jesus, who gives birth to faith in him, who gives birth to trust in him. Listen, yesterday we celebrated 4th of July, Independence Day. We celebrated the independence, our independence as a nation, the freedom that men and women fought for. And as I was meeting with your team earlier this week, you know, Tony actually pointed out the fact that on the $1 bill, you can pull it out if you have one, on the back of it, it says, in God we trust. This great nation was founded on godly values with a godly vision. And President Eisenhower wrote into law that the nation's motto would be, in God we trust. What if this became not just a motto or a political statement, but a lifestyle? That we truly trust God himself more than anything the news is saying, more than any of the circumstances that are happening around us. That we fixed our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we do that, I believe fear will bow. I believe anxiety will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. It's interesting that God told the nation of Israel as they were going to spy out the land, be strong and of good courage. Despite the circumstances, be strong and of good courage because I have the final say. As Peter and the disciples are in the boat and the storm's happening and Jesus walks toward them, what does he say? Be brave and of good cheer. In other words, be courageous. I am with you. And I believe that this morning, God wants to set some people free of fear, anxiety, or maybe even you know that you've got caught up looking at the circumstances around you instead of fixing your eyes on Jesus himself. And if that's you, you say, you know what? I feel like I'm coming under fear, anxiety. I've got my eyes off of Jesus and onto circumstances. And we're just gonna have some music start to play as we go into a time of ministry. If that's you, this is a safe place. I just want you to stand. We're gonna pray for you. You have felt fear trying to get on you, anxiety trying to get on you. I'm telling you, this morning, God wants to release supernatural peace and his perfect love that casts out fear. If that's you, I just want you to stand where you are. We're gonna pray for you. You've gotten your eyes off of Jesus and onto circumstances. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. We all face this sometime. I feel like there's a few more. This is a safe place. I want to encourage you, be bold, be courageous. And even as you stand, some of you, that fear is just going to be broken off of you right now. That anxiety is going to bow its knee in Jesus' name. If there's anyone else, just go ahead and stand where you are right now. Fear of health issues, finances, whatever it is, just stand where you are. The rest of you, I just want you to look around and I want you to stretch your hands toward them and we're going to pray for them. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that for every son and daughter of God that's standing right now, that you would cause fear to fall off of them right now in Jesus' name. That anxiety would be broken off of them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that your perfect love that drives out fear would start to rest on them and even envelop them right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak to anxiety and I say, go now in Jesus' name. I speak to fear and I say, get off of them in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that your perfect peace that passes understanding would begin to flow and you would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, where there's a temptation to put our eyes on circumstances instead of Jesus, that you would just shift our perspective and we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, come and reveal yourself to them in a fresh way. Reveal yourself as the all-powerful one. The one, and I just hear the Lord saying, even over this lady standing over to my left right here with the kind of flowered shirt, I hear the Lord saying, I am with you. 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 I have not left you. I am with you. I have not left you. I am with 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 you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. And I release the peace of heaven from the top of your head to the soles of your feet right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I prophesy and declare no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I prophesy Song of Solomon 2 over you right now. The winter is over and the spring has come, and the sound of doves is heard in the land. It is a new season and the past is behind you. And I release supernatural peace right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.